This is KBOO 90.7 FM, all community radio, all the time. We've got Bread and Roses and Hard Knock Radio coming up for you next to raise your consciousness on this Friday evening before you destroy it with alcohol.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice a board meeting in writing, please email monica@kboo.org.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the screening of Now is the Time, Healthcare for Everybody. The screening takes place on Saturday, February 18th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Now is the Time, Healthcare for Everybody is a documentary film that advocates for universal, affordable, single-payer healthcare for everyone and demonstrates the power of the people to make a difference even in the face of seemingly insurmountable obstacles. Again, that's Now is the Time, a documentary screening Saturday, February 18th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Salmon Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the KBOO homepage under Community Events.
Marching at the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing Bread and Roses.
Welcome to Bread and Roses. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists bringing you feminist news and public affairs, programming every Friday at 6 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM. Women have had this forum on KBOO since 1978. The Bread and Roses Collective always welcomes new members, no experience necessary, so if you would like to host, produce, or engineer with us, contact KBOO's volunteer coordinator at volunteer@kboo.org. You can also find Bread and Roses on the web, kboo.fm/Bread and Roses. There you can listen to past shows, share comments or show ideas. You can also like us on Facebook at KBOO Bread and Roses. And as of today, well, as of for a while, we've been on Twitter. How would you know? If you go on Twitter at Bread Roses Radio. Our engineer tonight is June, and I'm your host, Pamela Santos. Very excited. This is the beauty of Bread and Roses is I get to put things that matter to me on, and I am putting a feminist lens on geek culture and comic cons. I have a whole table of guests that have something to say about it, and I'll let them introduce themselves. So we'll start off with Jenna right over here.
Howdy. Hello. I'm Jenna. I'm a geek. I love my geekdom.
And you can let us know kind of, I mean, the nice thing about today is every single one of my three guests here are already on KBOO. You've heard them either as programmers in some way, or they've contributed to the evening news. And if everyone goes around with a brief list of their most important fandoms, let's keep it, you know, to the most important ones.
There's just so many, but yeah, the most important is definitely Star Trek. Star Trek and Futurama. I think there should just be channels with just Futurama and Star Trek all day that just intermittently go. That's my dream TV. Hi, I'm Jess, and you've probably heard me in more ways than one on KBOO Radio on these various programs. I would have to say my geekdom is Harry Potter, and yeah, we'll dig into that, but that holds my heart, Harry Potter, definitely, and Sherlock. I'm all about the BBC network, so I'd have to say Sherlock Holmes.
I'm Jackie Malmstrom. I do Rose City Native Radio on KBOO, and I'm also the co-host of A Tribe Called Geek on the Success Native Style Network. My fandom would be probably Batman and an assortment of smaller things. Like, I'm really into Ugly Americans, and I really wish they got a third season because everything about that universe is amazing. Yeah, and I've also been a cosplayer for almost 10 years now.
Very cool. And my fandoms are pretty much, I share most of them with all three of you, because why not? Mm-hmm. Batman is totally my strong one, more than Superman. Still into any of the Vertigo comics before they came back to DC. Yeah. So anything, I mean, Preacher, Transmetropolitan.
Transmet is like one of my hands down favorites. I don't know if Vertigo does Wormwood the Gentleman Corpse, but Ben Temple Smith is like,
wait, let me think.
My jam.
If Wormwood is the one with what? Devil's Son?
Wormwood is the one with a corpse that has a little worm in the eye, and he solves paranormal mysteries, kind of. Sort of, maybe. He might be on Image Comics. I need to double check. I'm horrible at that part.
No, I'm... But, I have to get back to my Saga.
Ooh, Saga's good.
Fandom, just because it's so good. And I want to say the one thing that I will say that hasn't been mentioned here yet is... So there's this TV show, this British show called Spaced. And it's almost like it encompasses all of the fandoms because, I mean, they just threw in references. Simon Pegg was on that originally.
Yay, before Simon Pegg.
Yeah. Before he got all famous. With Shaun of the Dead. So anything to do with really meta geek references, like, see human IMDb, Rick and Morty. I think everyone can attest that I do not have even my cell phone, so I'm not even doing this from the internet. I'm just, you know, unfortunately that person.
Rick and Morty is definitely one I would add as well. And also, like, Steven Universe. I just recently got into Steven Universe. Love Steven Universe. But, like, I think a lot of my fandoms, too, are British ones. Like, Spaced is really good. I have been super into Red Dwarf as well. I've seen almost all of it. It got kind of shaky around, like, the movie, and then with the 10th Red Dwarf X, I think is what it's called. I haven't seen that yet, but I've been hesitant to. It got a little shaky towards the end, but Red Dwarf is definitely one of mine, and I love it to pieces. Sherlock and all those. Britain's got some good fandoms, I would say. They got nerd stuff right. Like Hyperdrive, too. Hyperdrive has Nick Frost. Mm. And it's like a Lost in Space-esque kind of show. It's hilarious. It's really good.
You guys are making me feel like I need to see what's going on across the ocean.
You basically need binge watching. Yeah.
Okay. My whole weekend is wiped out.
Oh, yeah.
It's also called illegal downloads.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys ever watch the IT Crowd?
Yes.
The IT Crowd, unfortunately, is no longer on the air, but no, you can binge watch it on Netflix.
Totally worth it. Richmond is my favorite.
Well, even then, I mean, Harry Potter has every single British actor, probably.
Basically. Just about, yeah.
Basically.
And I think if we gotta go American, Game of Thrones is going to be coming back April 24th. See, I don't know why. I know these things.
Because you do.
You probably have it marked on your calendar.
I do because the spring drive. But right next to the spring drive is the Game of Thrones big... I'm not going to put... I don't know what I'm going to put. I'm going to put like a Bloody Cersei or something, like, picture on my calendar. I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to mark it. Maybe a crow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I can... get, you know,
a little crow sticker.
I've only ever watched like the first few episodes of Game of Thrones, and I could just not get into it. Do I need to watch more than like the first few episodes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It might take some time. I avoided it like the plague because I am not into medieval stuff.
Right? Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like sat down and caught enough, like, you know, at a glance, and then I really sat down and tried to make it work. And honestly, like, it's pretty good. It's full of drama, and I mostly laugh at it. But it's really, it's good at sucking you in. And I haven't read the books. My boyfriend's read the books though, and it's nuts. If you just want to sit down and be like, everybody in this is insane, and just watch everybody just eat each other, like, it's great.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of drawn in whenever, like, the super bloody things happen. I'm just like, oh, my God, why am I not watching that? Because I just want to see people with, like, huge armor.
Yeah.
Like, that's mainly what I love.
If you stick around mm-hmm. long enough, it's going to get to that point. Especially, I would say, in the last few seasons, you see a lot
okay,
more of
Okay, so
that.
I'll sit it it's out like and payoff. I'll do it.
Oh, it's yeah. like payoff. Okay. So it's basically, like, if you suffer and suffer and suffer and suffer, and then you definitely suffer right before the finale of each season, and then you might get a payoff, like, before.
It you suffer off. So good.
Yeah.
You suffer okay. right at episode 9, right, usually?
Yeah, right about there. Yeah, the first season, it gets a little lengthy, and you're like, okay. But that's just the climb of the crazy coaster. And then it gets to the top. And then the finale happens, and then you're on the great space coaster of craziness and gore and backstabbing, and it really goes off the rails. So,
I mean, yeah. I actually have to take a step back right now. Hey, Bread and Roses listeners, if you just tuned in, we got really off the deep end, and we jumped right off the geek cliff. I'm very sorry if you tuned in and you thought to yourself, it's Friday night. I'm ready for some feminist programming. What is this Game of Thrones mess that I just got into? I would say, again, I went into that long thing about our past shows because, hey, I did a whole past show on Game of Thrones and TV. Well, not only, but TV and just TV alone was enough. But I think this is a good way to sort of, this is what you're in for. Okay, this is what you're in for. You know, buckle yourself in because we're going to get into the hard stuff. We're warming you up because honestly, really, we're going to get into the hard stuff.
Make sure your shoulder straps are buckled in, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I mean, if this is, you know, like you just got the wine and now we're bringing out the hard stuff. Because so all of us went to the Wizard World Comic Con the other weekend, and one of the topics that kind of came up, because if you're at a comic convention, whether or not it's comics out there or all kinds of geekdoms as we go, you know, for it, you have people that are cosplaying. And rather than explain all of that, one of the, you know, because there's this thing called the internet, you can look it up after. There is something that we want to talk about, which is what happens when female cosplayers are at these conventions and they run into, I don't even want to call it a risk because it's not really their fault either. So we have two clips that we're going to play back to back. It's just to explain, it's sort of a public service announcement from the Anime Expo. Thanks to Jackie here, putting it up and finding it for us. And it's all about this topic we're going to talk about, is cosplay is not, I repeat, not consent. So I'm not going to do contractions. I'm saying again, cosplay is not consent. So after that PSA, we're going to go right into the next clip. Would be Jenna had caught some attendees at Wizard World letting us know what it's like for them. So I'll cue it up and we're all set.
I'm a cosplayer, and cosplay is about many things.
It's about detail, heart, and creativity.
It's about the passionate community that we're a part of.
And we want you to know, cosplay does not mean consent.
That means don't take a picture of a cosplayer without their permission.
Don't catcall and don't follow someone around the convention hall.
Don't say anything demeaning, degrading, lewd, or inappropriate to any cosplayer.
Don't touch any cosplayer without their permission.
All of these actions are considered harassment.
No means no, always.
It doesn't matter how cute, how sexy, how little, or how much a cosplayer is wearing. Cosplayers are people, and we all deserve respect.
Anime Expo has a zero tolerance policy. So do I. You should too.
If you are harassed, or you see someone being harassed, here's what you can do.
You can tell the person harassing you that they are making you uncomfortable, or that their actions are inappropriate.
If you are uncomfortable to say something in the moment, you can get an Anime Expo staff volunteer, someone wearing a red vest, or even Los Angeles Convention security members, and let them know. They will help you file a report.
Speak up! I speak up because no one should be treated this way.
I'm a cosplayer.
I'm a cosplayer.
I'm a cosplayer. I'm a person, and I deserve respect, even as Tsunade. I shouldn't have to ask for it. Respect should be automatic.
Treat everyone with respect and keep our community safe and fun for everyone. We're cosplayers, but cosplay is not consent.
I'm a cosplayer, and cosplay is about many things.
It's about detail, heart, and creativity.
It's about the passionate community that we're a part of.
So, this is live radio. Remember that? You're listening to KBOO's Bread and Roses. I'm Pamela, and that's just live radio for you. We have two clips, but as our engineer gets that second one over there together, we might just get started into what cosplay isn't. I mean, it's just not permission to touch at any point.
I mean, so if people who don't know what like cosplay is people dressing up as their favorite characters. And oftentimes what you see in cosplay is people like dressing up in what is often described as like very sexy costumes because that's what they look like. You know, if you want to dress up as Wonder Woman, you're probably not going to wear like a full Adidas tracksuit or something like that. You're probably going to be wearing, you know, the Wonder Woman costume, which for some reason there's just like this culture where people think, okay, I can go and touch Wonder Woman's boobs or her exposed skin, or I can take pictures of her just because this woman is dressed up like this and because she's a character, I don't have to respect her space. Mm-hmm. And so you find lots and lots of cosplaying people getting harassed. And it's not just the women. Even the men get like really sexually harassed.
Yeah.
People are just literally grabbing their genitalia or like putting a selfie stick up their skirts.
Yeah, it's really creepy. And, you know, a lot of it has to do, I mean, it can also bring up the issue then of designs for characters. I mean, you know, a lot of these characters are designed to be, you know, sexualized and kind of, so you have to make do with what you got. And then, you know, then you have people coming up and just assuming, oh, okay, well, because you're exposing this much skin, then it's totally fine for me to, like, jokingly do this pose where I grab your boobs. And, you know, there's no asking, there's no, you know, anything like that, because it's like, well, they wouldn't have them out on display if it wasn't okay for me to, like, you know, mess with them, which is ridiculous. And assuming anything like that, you know, touching people, doing anything, you know, they get into this weird zone of it's like, oh, it's that character, and this character doesn't mind if somebody does this. And it's like, no, dude, I'm a person. Like, this is just make-believe. This is not reality. And you know, you need to kind of respect my space and not follow me around, or, you know, not take creepy pictures. Like, upskirting is a really big issue at conventions. It's a huge issue at conventions, and
yeah, it's kind of scary how big
an
issue it is.
It's really creepy. You see some dude with his telephoto lens, like this huge lens, like trying to just get upskirts of girls in cosplay, which is just totally gross.
Or how some women like literally have
their friends follow directly behind them because people are taking pictures of their butts or when they're going up like escalators, going walking around these conventions. Like, they literally cannot avoid being harassed. And first, you know, we first started hearing about cosplayers many years ago, maybe starting to get harassed, but it kind of infiltrated the entire convention culture where it wasn't just women in scantily clad outfits. It was even like the volunteers who wear t-shirt and jeans and show you which direction to go were getting sexually harassed left and right. I heard this one cosplayer talk about this man, how he had been roofied at an anime convention. I mean, it's
really scary.
It gets really, it gets really, really scary. And, you know, these women try to say, you know, don't touch me. And so now to the point back, so here's some backstory. In New York Comic Con in 2013, it became such a problem that there became a campaign called Cosplay is Not Consent, where just because I'm dressed like this doesn't mean you just get to grab my boob for fun. I mean, women have literally been picked up and carried off. Like,
yeah.
And so they decided, so this campaign started where they decided we need to put this out front and talk about it. Mm-hmm. And now you have these panels that are happening at conventions because for some reason people have to be told to not sexually harass one another.
Yeah.
They have entire panels for that. I mean, I think it's insane.
No, I agree.
And even if they devote, would you say that when they have those kinds of panels, would you say that those panels get targeted for like online harassment and Twitter kind of harassment ahead of time then?
Absolutely. It's not even just the panels. I mean, they have, you know, there are I wouldn't really want to go as far as say celebrity, but there are very, very popular, very famous cosplayers who kind of do this for a living and are well known for their incredible cosplay, who have spoken out about this as well and the harassment that they get. And they get attacked on Twitter, attacked online. You know, it falls into the whole, oh, you're being too PC, bro, kind of thing, which is not the case at all. We're just asking to be respected. And just because we happen to be in a goofy costume doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want to us. We're human beings. There is that level of harassment, even in just asking for respect, which is sad and you know, but it's the culture, the geek culture, you know. While it may seem real progressive to be, you know, for it to be cool to be a geek now, it still has a lot of catching up to do in general with respect to women, to POC, people of color, to all sorts of things, because, you know, it was, you know, a male fantasy playland for a long time. I mean, just look at, you know, Captain Kirk and how he kind of just...
Every alien.
Yeah.
He just planted a flag in every planet. In a way. Yeah, I'm Filipino. I make puns. Thank you.
More ways than one. But also, you know, there's all kinds of things like, you know, in the indigenous community, we've talked about, you know, how Star Trek is basically colonialism, the TV show. Like, they're technically not supposed to get involved, but they always get involved. And, you know,
the prime directive is pretty much just, I know this. Monroe Doctrine.
Yeah.
Yay.
Oh,
I know. I don't know what happens. I didn't get a perfect SAT score, but I swear it goes somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like deep in my memory palace. Oh, that one's for you, Jess. I can do it. I think if you're tuning in, it's that there are two ways to enjoy tonight's show. If you're new to geek culture, I think we can still find a lot of ways for you to kind of have something to think about. But if you're a very, very, very true blue geek, you're going to, you know, I got my references ready for you. It's good. It's good. I've been busy rolling my eyes. I don't know if Jess has been wanting to chime in. I mean, especially with Harry Potter and the fire and terrible burns that Emma Watson gets online for proclaiming quite directly and very simply that she's a feminist.
Mm-hmm. And I think, especially for her character being a smart person, that was kind of different, I think, for a lot of the fandom geek worlds, because a lot of times in geek culture,
the girls are always the ones that you oogle over, and it's like, oh, there's a pretty girl over here. And, you know, I just think about shows like The Big Bang Theory, and it's like one of the only key, one of the key characters there is the pretty girl next door kind of thing. And it's like, oh, I don't know anything, and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, the newer seasons are now kind of incorporating some, like the character Amy and stuff is now, you know, a scientist and things, and she's being having more of a presence. But it's like originally that wasn't the case. And so I think for actors like Emma Watson and being very vocal about who she is, I give her props for that, because it's like she's an intelligent person and she can still geek out on things and not feel any kind of strife against who what she believes in. You know, I think she has that platform to be vocal about it, and she's taking advantage of it in a positive way. But yeah, I think for cosplayers and stuff, I did a little bit of cosplay as a youth, and I felt intimidated by all the options that were given to me for female characters. And there was that hesitancy of like, is there another, is there like the, you know, nighttime going to the store kind of outfit? You know, like the, hey, I'm going to grandma's house kind of outfit. You
or
know?
Like, I'm just going to get my tampons and some Cheetos.
Right, right. And it's like, my parents would not let me out of the house if I like was like, I'm going to be Sailor Moon, Mom. And, you know, here she is with everything's pushed up and tightened and, you know, and it was just one of those things where there wasn't that many options. And so it's difficult being a female and trying to do cosplay and recognizing your fandom, but also recognizing that there are people out there that exploit the fandom. So it's unfortunate, but I think there's definite change. And I'm glad that, Jenna, when you were talking about that campaign that's going around, I think it's something that should have been done several decades ago.
Oh, yeah.
And something that should be put forward in more ways than just at conventions. Like if they actually had a flyers, like as people come in of like, here's your ticket, and also FYI, cosplay is not consent.
Okay, so something kind of scary about that is that the same
everything people, scary
the same people who created the cosplay is not consent campaign have created these cards that you can give out. They call them the harasser cards, and they come in red, yellow, and blue cards. And if someone comes up and just like fully like say like grabs your boob or just like, you know, it's really inappropriate, you can hand them a red card that says, what you just did was sexual harassment. Do not do that. Do not touch people. Okay. And then you can give out a yellow card that's like, hey, I know you didn't mean to sexually harass me and that you really meant well, but here's this card explaining that what you did was actually really super creepy and gross and probably illegal. Then there's a blue card you get to hand out to people when they like interfere on your behalf, and you get to say, and it says like, thank you for being on our side. I'm like, why do people need cards? And the reason is because the women or the men, you know, whoever's getting harassed, the problem is the conventions. They don't feel like they have authorities that they can report to. And so now they have to take it into their own hands. And apparently, in addition to trying to figure out where the heck you keep your iPhone in your Wonder Woman costume, you get to carry around a deck of cards to let people whether or not they've done a red, yellow, or blue offense.
So I have two things to say to that. One, those cards are only going to be effective if the red card immediately singes them and they just like, you know, just... yeah, if they...
It's like a howler from Harry Potter.
Thank you. I was really trying hard. I was just like, what?
Okay, yeah,
would
if
that
we
be?
Can make red howlers.
Oh, wow. Just like immediate contact. Oh, yes, this is sexual harassment. Too bad. You're incinerated now. And if the real, for me, the real problem to all of that as I do my little, you know, miming and gesturing. Well, first of all, what we always say to it is that the root cause, the root problem is patriarchy. Patriarchy hurts. But specifically a symptom of that is male fragility. Wow, masculinity is just so, so not only toxic, but at the same time, so fragile that you cannot just directly just say,
I mean, I would want to have a rape whistle at this point and just have everybody know what just happened. and then we all shun them like this was the Crucible or something. But no, that's not what happens. You give a freaking card.
I mean, and just the problem also is
Zip
I think
light.
It's so subtle what happens. I heard this one cosplayer where she was talking about she was standing in a really large crowd, you know, at the panels and stuff. If you've ever been to a convention, you can just get shoved in the middle of these huge crowds, and that's where a lot of women are getting groped, where they're just in a crowd. And she saw these three Jedi. She felt her skirt starting to go up, and so she turns around and she sees these three guys dressed up as Star Wars Jedis, and one of them is like running away while hiding a selfie stick because he's done the upskirt shot. And I mean, and she, what was interesting about this woman was that she's like in her mid-40s. She's like, I didn't think I was the kind of person that would be harassed. Like, yeah, I was in a dress, but she's like, I'm overweight, I'm old, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, and this guy, I tried to chase after him, but he was in the crowd. And then I tried to tell authorities and like nothing happened. Cause they're like, oh, well, who was it? And all you can say is, oh, it's the Jedi.
You know, it's almost just like they, there you go, another bad thing, capitalism. Capitalism, you try to steal something and you get your thief ink on you. You get, like, marked by blue ink. Try to steal something, open up the tag, whatever, you know. Not that I know. Just saying. Red-handed, blue-handed, whatever. And I just feel like I want it to look like if there could be something that was rapist-colored, you just end up having these hands that are just like, oh, there you go. He just got very rapey right there. You know, let's shun him. Don't allow him to wash his hands. He can't go to the bathroom. Not allowed. Not allowed. We are going to control your body now.
That'd be great. I mean, I can imagine like a superhero that is like the octopus woman or something, and she like shoots ink. Even she just like marks you like, haha, you can't run away from that, because you can totally run. And like the problem is even if you do mark them with ink and you're at the conventions, a lot of the authorities at the conventions are victim blaming. So here's these people saying like, I was groped, I was harassed, blah, blah, blah. And then like major cosplayers, you know, that are like kind of celebrity cosplayers have been told like, well, maybe you shouldn't have worn that. You shouldn't have worn something so revealing. And yet you see all these people standing around in these really revealing costumes, but then they'll blame this one person like, oh, well, you showed a little too much cleavage and maybe you shouldn't have been doing that. It's like,
it's
are you serious?
Yeah, like, I think it
patriarchy.
Also, like I said earlier, like, it's kind of interesting because it also, because this harassment is happening, it's also shedding some light on the issues in the comics world, in the design of these characters in general, of like, okay, how practical is this if we make this a reality? If we make this costume a reality, how practical is this? And we're seeing not so practical. And, you know, Power Girl's boob window is not really needed.
Who is the Final Fantasy character? My friend told me this. She actually dressed up. Hey, Salome. She dressed up as this character that's like a rabbit woman.
Oh, I forget her name, but I know who you're talking about.
And it's such hard, I would say, even just engineering wise, putting that costume together. So it looks cool on the game screen, and then you try to realize it on a real 3D woman, whatever the shape could be. Mm-hmm. But I think this is a pretty good time to, we have so many good clips coming up. I mean, I'm just going to get you ready for it, because I don't think your heart is going to be ready for it when you hear that Jack and I had interviewed Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
What?
Actor by the name of James Marsters. I'm just preparing you. I'm just, you know, just in case you need some heart medicine. I'm not really sure. It's not my business.
Pam's full fangirls all coming out right
okay,
now.
Okay, it's not even, it's just so, it's very under the surface. It's going to go full fangirl at like an 11 by the time we get to it at the end. So once you know that I left it at the end with Spike, you know that that's all that like my breath and my body could like handle of oxygen. So we'll get to that later. We have a couple of things. Hopefully we'll try to get to all the clips, but definitely just coming up right now. So we have one that's coming up right now. Jess here was super ridiculously brilliant, very Sherlockian, I would say, in going along with this particular vox pop, where I'm just going to leave you to it because you have the questions.
So I'm going to ask all of you ladies eventually this. Should I
play? Right after the clip.
Should we? Yeah, we should play the clip. But just a little intro. I did my Sherlockian investigatory journalism in a way. Sorry, that's a Zoolander reference. But I just went through and just asked folks, and as answering their questions, or asking the questions and having them answer them, I gave them a KBOO bumper sticker and the free digital download of our KBOO mixtape. So there was a little incentive to actually answering some of these questions, and I think it was really great to hear how people were honest and more passionate about one thing or the other. There was a lot of like, that's not even a question, like, hands down, you know, and so that was just really funny. So if you guys are ready to listen to that, we'll take a peek.
Hey everyone, this is Just Jess, and I was fortunate enough to join the KBOO Collective at Wizard World Comic Con this weekend. It was an awesome 3-day event featuring celebrity panels, gaming in all its many forms, and exhibitors displaying their artwork and various trinkets for sale. And of course, there were comic books, so overall, it was a great event. This year is KBOO's first year having a booth, and I hope it won't be the last. Well, at the Comic-Con, I thought I'd take the opportunity to wander around and interview folks with a little lightning round Q&A, Vox Pop style, seeing what people were into and where their loyalties lied. And I found it quite interesting to hear people's responses by how passionate they were about choosing one side of the fence over the other. I only had 5 questions, with a couple sub-questions, but boy, did some folks have a lot to say. I started off with this first one.
First question, who's your favorite doctor?
And I'm referring to Doctor Who, of course, a show consisting of 12 different doctors over the course of its running, which started back in 1963. So I was curious to hear which doctor was the fan favorite.
10.
10.
10, by far.
10.
11.
11.
Now, for those of you that might not be familiar with Doctor Who, when someone gives the number 9, 10, or 11, they're referring to Christopher Eccleston, David Tennant, and Matt Smith. Those are the more recent doctors, within the last decade or so, and therefore, I kind of figured they would be the most popular. There were a couple fans, though, who did not want to answer completely.
That's a tough one. 9 was my first. I also like 10. I like them both. I'm not going to decide between them.
And even some of those who had their own unique response to the question.
Dr. Horrible.
Favorite doctor? Oh, House.
When we... makes robots?
Nice. I like that one too.
Which I thought was very creative. Question 2 on the list was another tough one.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Yes, this is a question that had very passionate answers, even those with fairly good reasons behind them.
Star Trek.
Star Wars.
Star Wars all the way.
I have to say Star Wars. I never jumped on the Star Trek train.
Trek.
Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
I'm going to have to go Star Wars. They have lightsabers.
Star Trek, always.
But overall, I thought there was quite an even draw between those Trekkies and the Jedis. With this question, I had sub-questions like...
Kirk or Picard?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'd say... Kirk.
Picard.
Picard.
Oh, Kirk all the way. You can't find that sort of beautiful cheese in the original series anywhere else. It's amazing. He created a whole subgenre of cheese just based on his bad acting.
Kirk.
I'm assuming you went to see Shatner this weekend?
I'm trying to.
Picard.
Kirk.
Oh, it's a tough one. I had to go with Picard.
Kirk.
Picard.
Which gave some creative responses. Despite William Shatner being one of the key celebrities here at Wizard World Comic Con, there were quite a few Picard fans, which made me very happy, since I myself am a next-gen kind of girl. The sub-question to Star Wars was...
Do you acknowledge episodes 1, 2, and 3?
Another controversial question that spanned many intense but reasonable replies.
I acknowledge them. I don't love them.
I do my best.
But you know, they are an important part of the story.
They're existing
They exist.
There are definitely things that happened that I can't take away.
No.
No comment.
No.
No.
The pod racing was really cool, but that's probably it. That's all I'm going to acknowledge.
You will ignore Jar Jar Binks?
Yes.
They exist. I don't deny reality. I hope they remake them someday.
Yes. They add a little bit to the story. Granted, there is a little bit too much love story, but it adds to the story.
If I must.
Yes, I do. Okay. All right. Die Hard fan. Nice.
Question 3.
Marvel or DC Comics?
Marvel. Yeah.
It's Marvel.
Marvel.
Marvel Cinematic Universe. I tend to read more DC graphic novels.
I was going to say, as far as like from a Hollywood film, definitely Marvel. TV, there's a lot of great character development with their Justice League and Young Justice series.
Agreed.
So that's how I would split that.
Oh, DC. I'm all about Young Justice and Teen Titans. That's my jam.
Marvel. All the way.
I like them both, to be honest. But I gotta tell you, I favor the villainous. Those are my favorite.
Marvel.
Both.
Marvel for movies, DC for TV.
Marvel.
Hands down?
Hands down.
Okay.
Go Avengers.
There you go.
This one was pretty one-sided, though. I think mainly due to the media that it's given Marvel a slight advantage over DC Comics with all of its movies and TV shows as of late. But there were a couple DC fans.
I'll have to go with DC.
Marvel and Batman.
Marvel plus Batman and Joker.
I've had someone say Marvel plus Batman.
That's okay. Yeah.
Who doesn't like Batman?
Yeah, who doesn't like Batman?
Mostly just for Batman. Which made me wonder, could Marvel ever attempt to buy the rights to the Batman franchise? If so, then DC's in a world of trouble.
Getting some good responses here. I kind of have an idea of what the poll standings are going to be, but I'm going to get some more people here and see what the poll's results. So stay tuned. It's been a fun con, I definitely have to say.
And that is the clip that we were just playing was a Vox Pop at Wizard World Comic Con, captured wonderfully and edited by Just Jess. You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Pamela Santos.
Cool. Yeah, thanks. There's more questions to be had, so I thought if you ladies are ready, I'm going to Vox Pop you.
Ready.
I was born
Vox
ready.
Me. Vox you. All right.
Let's do a question at a time.
Question 1. Who's your favorite doctor?
Tom Baker, the fourth Doctor.
Okay.
To be fair, I'm actually not as super invested. I don't know. I like Matt Smith a lot, but...
Okay. Jenna?
Okay, you guys, don't make fun of me, but I have never seen Doctor Who.
Get out.
We go pass.
Leave
I'm the only
out.
Geek
You're done.
In
down.
The world.
Goodbye. Nice talking to you, Jenna. Goodbye.
Drop the mic.
Adios.
Drop.
Thanks
I've
for
sticking
with me.
I lost my nerd card.
Yeah, you just did.
Microphones have now been dropped.
you couldn't even parrot me or Pamela just to save yourself. You.
Oh, man.
Okay, I'll do that. I like number 9.
Okay.
Which one
nine's
is that?
9's my jam.
Which one is that?
You know that one.
That
number
one.
9?
You're going to be like the female one?
The one that always got in the TARDIS.
You know some terms.
I know some terms. I do.
Okay.
You know, but I just haven't gotten into it because I think it falls into that category of British nerd things that I'm not into.
Okay.
Okay.
So I need to get into.
Yeah. I'm a Tenet fan, only probably more so because of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So I got into
Tenet
for that.
Tenet's my second. Like,
he's your second jam?
Yeah, he's like, because like, okay, here's the thing is like, my boyfriend was like hardcore into Doctor Who, right? His friend had a blue Taurus car, right? It was called the TARDIS. It had police
Ooh.
Box on the windshield, the whole, right? So I had never seen Doctor Who before I met my boyfriend. And then him and his friend were like, if we have to Clockwork Orange you, we will.
We're not doing that to Jenna.
Super briefly, right? Super briefly on Sci-Fi. I was like, oh, you mean that cheesy show with like the English dude? It's like, you need to watch it. So I go, I blast through all of Tenet. I binge watch it. I'm hooked. And Tenet was my first Doctor. And I was really impressed with what he did. But then I got curious and started watching the old series and even did a podcast where we went from first episode on. I mean, we were trying to watch every episode we could, which got tricky around the missing episodes with the First Doctor. But as I watched the old series, which I kind of personally like more, Tom Baker's Doctor is so great and so funny. And I love that he always offers everyone jelly babies. And his look is just so goofy and weird. And also, he had K-9. And even though the actor absolutely hated K-9 in person, in real life, I loved K-9.
Okay.
And so that's also the cherry on top is K-9.
Nice. Okay, second, Trek or Wars?
Trek. Full Trek all the way.
Because?
Because Trek actually had, like, for me at least, it's like Geordi LaForge. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Yeah. I gotta, just to save us, you're gonna really like it when you hear James Marsters, because he does talk about both Trek and Wars. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to that. I will defer my answer just because I'm listed for later.
Boy.
Whatever. Really, it is Star Trek though.
Okay.
No lie.
Yeah. So I mean, Star Trek is more of the feminist show. That's honestly why.
I mean, it's not a feminist show. I wouldn't say that it is, but compared to like when I was growing up, I did not like Star Wars because there were like no women. And
I agree. There's like two women in the whole universe.
Yeah.
Depending on which one you're talking
about.
Well,
with Star Trek, I got a whole bunch of characters. I got
but
to
who didn't
from.
Want Chewie as their best friend, though?
I didn't.
Science.
I wanted Chewie as my pet.
I like Spaceballs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Spaceballs over Star Wars.
All right.
But what about you, Jack?
Star Trek. For me,
yeah,
I lean more to Star Trek because you know next gen for life.
Oh yeah.
Because like Star Wars, like. It was talky. It was a little boring, and I was also the generation that got like that was you know the experienced the prequels
1, 2, and 3,
mm-hmm.
that shouldn't have existed.
Yeah, so I'm more of a Star Trek girl just because like their adventures seemed a little bit more
Trek forever.
They don't roll on and on and on like they do in Star Wars. So there you go.
Marvel or DC Comics? Well, I think Jackie and Pamela know.
Oh no, but I have a reason. Like, what do you call it? It's DC, but only because X-Men, for some reason, like, I got into X-Men first because of the TV show and then the comics. But for some reason, it just seemed very soap opera-like. And anything to do with, like, Spider-Man. Like, why is Peter Parker, like, throwing up when he goes into, it was something like the House of M universe. And then he's just like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Aunt May and, like, no. Uncle Ben is alive. Oh, my God. I'm going to puke. And it's just like, handle your stuff, Peter.
Dude, he
handle
feels.
It.
Pull Peter your stuff feels. Together,
he's
man.
Emo. He's so emo.
He feels
and
hard.
I don't, it's just like you have to know who like dated who. Like I gave up, but DC, that's the evergreen. That's the, you know, Batman is always Batman.
Yeah.
He has his origin story. You got the pearls, you know, dead parents. And
I got a lot of
and
people.
Yet, and, oh my God, we're getting like so many comments all around the station. I just want everybody to know that one, we had our Ani Haynes from Positively Revolting.
It's a big
get out
geek.
Of her car.
Big old
to
nerd.
Tell, right? To tell us, oh my God.
We
and
love you.
We have Ani. Lisa Loving, news director, where we geek out over Agent Carter because that is probably easily the most feminist show on TV, and it doesn't even have an entire like show run. It is only about 10 episodes, and yet it's in its second season right now. Every part of it is so entertaining and beautifully, I don't know, just it's there, man. Sorry.
So I would say I had a lot of people say Marvel plus Batman. So if that was a thing,
right,
I would be like, okay, cool. I could do that.
I don't like the bright, happy, kind of obnoxiously bright primary colors of Marvel personally. DC seems a little bit darker. It has a little bit darker heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Mine would be DC plus X-Men.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Flip it, then.
I super love X-Men. I love that, you know, they can kind of represent not only like race struggles, but the LGBT movement,
right,
and things like that. I relate as a POC member of the LGBT plus community. So yeah, I would say DC plus X-Men would be my jam.
Wait, am I the only Marvel person at the table?
Oh my god. Okay, that's my answer. It's Marvel because this got the Hulk.
There you go.
Hulk, and Hulk is my jam.
Hulk is your jam.
Hulk's my jam.
So
finally, Harry Potter or Twilight? I think I already know this answer.
Oh, dude, the Potter. The Potter rocks my world.
Potter fan over here.
Yeah, Potter.
Pamela?
Yeah.
Don't tell me you like glittery vampires.
No. I'm just playing. It's always Potter. So, that is. Oh wait, no. I mean, we already know yours. So
yeah, Potter through and through. I'm a proud Hufflepuff.
Wait, what house are you?
Oh yeah, proud Hufflepuff, man. Just like Matthew Mercer.
I'm there with Gryffindor because I just go blindly into danger and I'm good.
Go Gryffindor.
You know, really good. But we're gonna try to. Okay, the house, and then we're going to run right into the Spike. Interview that I have hyped everybody enough about. But, yes. Okay, two more houses. We got...
What's your house, Jackie?
Dude, I don't know. All the quizzes I've done say Gryffindor, but I personally like Ravenclaw just for the name alone.
Okay. Ooh. Jenna?
Well, I feel like a Hufflepuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I need to take my time.
You're warm and caring.
Yeah, I just want to hug everybody. Or I'd be a Slytherin. I either just want to be warm and caring or I want to be evil. Like,
okay.
Slytherin might be fun.
It is, pretty much. So we, as usual, because this is what happens, we're going to go right.
Would you call yourself a geek before these genre roles? Like being on Buffy and, of course, Torchwood and Supernatural.
I am one of the original geeks. I was part of the write-in campaign to get the first Star Trek movie made.
Oh, wow.
In the mid to late 70s, I was... starting the whole convention thing. I was one of the fans that got it going. Like, I was at 13 years old, I had pointed ears, a blue tunic, a Spock tunic that I made with my sister, and pointed ears that my friend helped me make. I erased my eyebrows out with soap and built up, and I had a big blonde afro. But I was beautiful for the first time in my life, and the girls wanted to talk to me because I had the best phaser at the convention. Right. This was back when there was only two things to be a fan of: Star Trek and Space 1999. And we hated each other. We would say that your phaser is stupid and your laser gun makes no physical sense. It was very funny. But yeah, I've been a fanboy all my life, and I take it to mean that I'm relatively intelligent.
Glorious.
That's what it meant in my high school. If you were a geek, that meant you got good at grades in math. You know what? All right, I'll take it. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite thing? Like, what's the best things and the worst things about attending these types of conventions for you?
Oh, wow. There's not a lot of downside.
Yeah.
I think the best thing is feeling like I'm building community. I was really ambivalent about the whole fame thing coming down, because I really feel I came down to Los Angeles because I had a son, and I came from theater, from specifically subversive theater, and I needed to make money, and so I came to join the beast, right? And I found myself on a subversive television show that I could be proud of, and that was so lucky. You know, it could have gone differently. But I was really uncomfortable with being famous, because I feel like we're in a consumerist culture that makes money by this trick that commercials will do, which is they show you an idyllic lifestyle that you judge yourself by, and you always fall short of this idyllic lifestyle. And if you only buy this toothpaste, you can get a little closer to it. And so the whole trick is to make the consumer feel less, so that they are compelled to buy product to feel okay. And that is really messed up. So I felt like I was helping them craft an image that other people would feel less in the face of. Or I was on a television show that had commercials, and I was really kind of freaked out by it. And what I really enjoy about coming to do conventions is that I can meet people and show that I'm actually interested in what they have to say, and can make them feel a little better about where they're at, and that we share a lot. And if I can come to connection with that person, then they because they're still thinking, I'm meeting a celebrity. Oh, this is a special day. So I can use that celebrity to make them feel better, not worse. And so, assuaging the guilt is the best thing about coming to conventions. And there's not really a downside at all. Yeah, there really is, and it's a sweet ride. Yeah.
Pamela?
So, the actor who plays Biff Tannen on Back to the Future has a frequently asked questions and answers card. Apparently, it's gone around. It's like, oh, yeah, no, I don't talk to Michael J. Fox anymore, or whatever it is. It's like, here, I know I am Biff. But I feel like it's very polite, it's boundaries, it's like, all right, but like, I know, you know, like this was an important role and everything. Yeah. So, if you could make an FAQ card, something that, okay, I get asked this all the time, and this is my stock answer, you make it funny or not, I don't know, you're genuine, I feel it.
Okay, you're very smart, and there's no way I'm answering that question. No, this is what I tell people backstage who say I'm tired of answering the same question. I say, what is wrong with you? You know how you're on your first date and you can be so interesting and funny. You give them all your best stuff, all your best stories, all your witty lines, and you can really impress someone, at least for the first half hour of the first date. And then you run out of all that good stuff. And then you actually get to know each other, and it's a lot harder. But so being asked the same question all the time is like being on the first date. You can craft an answer that is interesting and honest and entertaining, and I'm not going to give you my best stuff on a card. No way. That's what I'm using to come into connection with people. That's no way. That's no way.
So you mentioned that you were one of the original geeks going to the first Star Trek conventions.
Yeah.
So being an original geek and a member of a fandom, what's your current favorite fandom right now? And it could be
multiple. I am so into gaming right now.
Yeah?
You know, like I'm excited about Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I saw the very first showing of Star Wars in the universe. Before 9 months before it came out, they were editing the movie in the projection booth, so we waited around for hours before we actually saw it. So I've been on board with that one for a long time. Then I felt like it was mine, and my one of my friends lived next door to George Lucas, as it happened. Because that's why I got invited to the movie, because he was inviting all the drama nerds to come see this thing for free. So I wrote him a letter saying that this movie is important. You're using old myth, and you're reawakening old myth, and it's working for you, but these are not your stories. And don't mess it up, George. I said, because I was 13, so I was all full of myself. I said, if you sell too many toys and breakfast cereals and pajamas with this stuff, you're going to convince everybody that these old myths are just for kids, but they're for everybody. So don't sell too many toys.
Being a fan of Star Wars,
he didn't listen to you.
Yeah, I'm also
no, he
curious.
Didn't. And he wrote me back and he told me, you're absolutely wrong.
That's
yeah.
Awesome. Thank
yeah.
you so much for talking with us.
Yeah. Hey. So that was James Marsters. He was Spike on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and he's pretty much on every geek show ever after that. I'll let you take care of that on the internet. You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm your host, Pamela Santos, and it was an honor and a privilege to talk with the geeks at this table right now. Thank you so much.
Woot woot.
Thank you.
Go
Geek
Girls.
We're doing that, like, let's just run with this. So all of the clips that we got from Wizard World, you just have to find them on kboo.fm. We're putting it all in one place for you. kboo.fm/kboo@wizardworld. So KBOO at Wizard World. Definitely check out all of our Bread and Roses social media and sites. And pretty much we have coming up right now is the Bat Dance, the perfect intersection of my personal fandom of Prince plus Batman together. Thank you for listening. Have a great week, everyone.
Oh, I got a live one here.
Hey, you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM.
When you live in a poor neighborhood, you're living in an area where you have to have poor schools. When you have poor schools, you have poor teachers. When you have poor teachers, you get a poor education. Poor education, you can only work on a poor paying job. And that poor paying job enables you to live again in a poor neighborhood. So it's a very vicious cycle.
On February 17th, from the grassroots, where we agitate for social change with music and commentary, we will focus on the life and legacy of Malcolm X. Join us on February 17th from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. We will focus on the life and legacy of Malcolm X.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the August Wilson Monologue Competition Regional Finals on Monday, February 25th at 7 p.m. at the Newmark Theater in Portland. 12 Portland area high school students will perform monologues from August Wilson 10-play American Century Cycle, and two will be selected to go to the national competition. There will also be a DJ spinning blues, jazz, R&B, and hip-hop. Again, that's the August Wilson Monologue Competition Regional Finals on Monday, February 25th at 7 p.m. at the Newmark Theater.